Welcome to the water baptism class. This is three lessons followed by the day of your water baptism, which will occur either during the 9 o'clock service or the 11 o'clock service. I'm so glad to have you with us. I'm sorry you were not able to make the first class, but here you are listening to the podcast. Congratulations on your decision to be baptized. In this first lesson, we want to speak to you about the Bible and your faith journey. The first lesson aims to help you grow in your confidence in the Bible's reliability. You can read that in your notes. Knowing the Bible can be trusted grows your ability to place faith in its life-changing words. On a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 representing minimal trust and 10 representing complete trust, how deeply do you trust God's word to be reliable and able to change your life? It's a question that we want to ask because it's important for you to know where you're at right now with your dependence on God's word as being reliable. And it's best if you would just be perfectly honest. You know, when I first started hearing about God, hearing about salvation, it was very hard for me to believe some of the things that I was reading. And so I would say my sense of dependence or reliability of God's word at that time was not very high, but it was largely because of my own ignorance of a lot of things that were very important that I needed to learn in the days that I began to study the Bible more and more. And I trust it'll be the same for you. Each question is welcomed by God. Each question gives you an opportunity to learn and grow deeper in God. So don't ever be afraid to ask the questions and grow deeper in this faith walk with Jesus. So I want to share with you some essential facts about the Bible that will begin to help you understand the significance of the Bible since it was first given by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit thousands of years ago. I find that so exciting that it was actually the inspiration of God's Holy Spirit that gave us these precious words found in the Bible. Well, here we go. Here's some essential facts about the Bible that we would love for you to understand and be able to begin some of your own personal trust on God's word as well. The first essential fact about the Bible is it is a collection of 66 books written by 40-plus authors inspired by the Holy Spirit over 1,500 years. The next essential fact: it is an all-time bestseller and remains a bestseller to this day. An estimated 9 billion, that's billion with a B, Bibles have been published in the last 50 years in 2,303 languages on all 7 continents. And the number of those languages has very likely increased since the time I took that research. Its authors come from varied backgrounds: shepherds, fishermen, kings, royalty, tax collectors, doctors, tent makers, priests, prophets, a cupbearer to a king, and others. This is important because of the cohesive message these varied authors gave, building God's story under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. I think it's wonderful to think of all these very, very different people who were given the privilege to be inspired by the Holy Spirit to write God's word. These are people that literally almost every human being could relate to in one way or another. Blue-collar workers, professionals, even royalty. I think that's really a wonderful, wonderful thing. The next essential fact about the Bible I'd love for you to see is the book of the Bible consists of history, law, poetry, prophetic books, and letters to churches and individuals. It's very comprehensive. The Bible stands as the most read book in history. Use the notes on the column on the side of this page to answer the following question. And here's the question that I'd like you to take a moment and think about, just to kind of let yourself know where you're at. A little while ago, you put yourself on a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 representing minimal trust and 10 representing complete trust on how deeply you trust God's word to be reliable and to change your life. So you have that number in the column. Now I'd like you to answer this question in the column of your notebook. Why do you personally believe the Bible is so significant? Go ahead and write that down. And let's jump in to the next phase of this lesson. I want to talk to you about reasons God's word can be trusted. Here we go. I'm going to share several and even a few additional ones. Here we go. The first reason you can trust in God's word is because of its manuscript reliability. You know, the New Testament has over 25,000 original manuscripts, 5,366 Greek, 10,000 Latin, and 9,284 in other languages in our museums today. Our one manuscript dates back as little as 50 years from the original writing. Compare this to the writings of Plato, having only 9 manuscripts with a gap of 1,300 years between the original and the first copy we have in a library today. The New Testament has more excellent manuscript reliability than the top 10 pieces of classical literature combined. Simply stated, when an historic event occurs and when it's written about and put into a manuscript, there is often large gaps. But in the Bible, we find very small gaps, which contributes to the reliability of it because it was written closer to the actual events or actual writing. Okay, so that's an important thing: manuscript reliability. Archaeology. Archaeologists have proof of the Bible's historical accuracy. An important discovery came in 1991 when archaeologists found a stone in the city of Dan, from the 9th century BC. It read "King of Israel and House of David," ending a long-held skeptic's criticism that King David was only a mythical Jewish character, not a historical king. Honest archaeology and scripture do not conflict. The next reason why God's word can be trusted is the Bible's witness itself. The Bible claims to be the authentic, intentional word of God 2,700 times. Now, on its face, you could say, well, you know, of course, just because you say something is the word of God over and over and over again, does it really make it God's word? No, it doesn't. However, 2,700 times this audacious statement is made about God's word, that it is authentic. It is his word. There's something to be said for that. And it's also something to be said for the fact that it's spoken with authority under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and also with a sense of confidence and humility even at the same time. Fulfilled prophecy. This is where things can get very, very wonderfully interesting. Fulfilled prophecy. One example of many in the Bible concerns Jesus' first coming. This example includes 61 individual prophecies with over 300 prophetic details made in the Old Testament concerning God's rescue plan through Jesus that came true. This is very, very compelling. One gentleman I heard of, a mathematician, and I'm probably not going to get these exact numbers right, but basically he was saying that Jesus fulfilled these biblical prophecies is absolutely remarkable. And then he gave a pictorial picture of what Jesus fulfilling that prophecy would look like. It was something like one in many trillions of chances that all those things that were spoke of him in prophecy hundreds of years before he even came on the planet were the chances of that actually happening were so small. And then the pictorial example that he gave was actually silver dollars over the state of Texas, if you're an American, and the silver dollars would actually cover the entire state of Texas, edge to edge, all throughout the whole state, and then stack those silver dollars 2 feet tall, and that's the chance that all these prophecies about Jesus could actually come to be true. But yet they were, and they did become true, as we found out in the New Testament hundreds of years later. So it's very 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 compelling. Another reason to think of God's word as words to be trusted and relied upon, as authoritative words given from God through His Holy Spirit, is something very, very important that I would love to communicate to you. And that is simply life change. Ultimately, the life-changing impact the Bible has had on men and women generation after generation is nothing short of miraculous. Thieves become preachers, slave owners become abolitionists, terrorists become peace brokers, drug addicts start recovery homes. The list is endless. I remember a young man that I had the privilege of mentoring when I was a dean of men at a Bible school in upstate New York. This young man came to me from Teen Challenge. Teen Challenge is a ministry that takes in people struggling with drug and alcohol addiction, and they live there for a period of time. They read about God's word. They spend much time in prayer. They're ministered to by wonderfully competent people, and the success rate for them getting free from their addictions is very, very high. Well, this young man came to the Bible school I was deaning at and teaching at, and I took him under my wing, and we began to get to know each other very well. As often does happen with addicts, he relapsed a number of times. However, each time he relapsed, we would get together and I would say, hey, you know what? You can do this. God's with you. He lives inside of you. You can overcome this. I am really happy to say at this time, he has 20 years of sobriety under his belt. That is the power of the life-changing gospel and word of God. And I also would love to tell you this because it's so very true. He has reopened a Teen Challenge unit in Rochester, New York, and he is faithfully helping men find the same freedom that he found. Life change. That's how powerful God's word can be. The word of God spoken, the word of God received and believed on has been changing lives for millennia. It's such an awesome proof of the reliability of God to me, and I hope to you as well, because I'm sure that you can think of people whose lives have been radically changed because of their faith in Jesus Christ. Now I'd like to speak to you about some other essential facts about the Bible that I think you'll find very interesting. Some of those are this. These are just some additional reasons for the reliability of God's Word. The Old Testament's ancient scrolls have been recently verified by discovering the Dead Sea Scrolls. In 1947, some boys playing in the desert came upon what is now known as the Dead Sea Scrolls. These were scrolls of the Old Testament hidden there years before. Everyone wondered if these scrolls would agree with other preserved scrolls. As it turned out, they matched very well and did not deviate from other document resources or sources. Answers from Genesis, which is an apologetics organization, states this: Jesus Christ made an amazing prophecy about this preservation of his word. He said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away." That's found in Mark 13 and 31. Two examples of leaders who tried to eliminate God's word. This is interesting. In 175 BC, the king of Syria, Antiochus Epiphanes, ordered that all Jews destroy their scriptures and worship the Greek gods. If they did not comply, they would be put to death. However, Judas Maccabees saved the books and led an insurrection, winning the independence of the Jewish nation. You've probably heard of Hanukkah. Well, Hanukkah is the holiday held among today's Jews' population to recognize this event. On another occasion, the Roman Emperor Diocletian ruled for Christianity to be outlawed, its leaders killed, and all Bibles burned. Incredibly, the next emperor, Constantine, not only legalized Christianity, but paid for 50 handwritten copies of the Bible to be written. 50 handwritten Bibles. Think about that. We didn't have printing press at this time. But 50 handwritten, that's how highly esteemed Constantine placed God's word when the emperor just before him, Diocletian, ruled for Christianity to be outlawed. It's incredible. It is really incredible to think about the durability, the reliability of God's word. I want to speak to you now about the eyes of our understanding. The eyes of our understanding are actually opened through faith. You know, as thought-provoking as the ideas that I've shared with you up to this point in this lesson are, they're wonderful. I mean, I think they're very interesting, but I want to say something to you very carefully, and I hope you can just take a moment and listen deeply to this thought. It still requires faith to trust in God's word. Just because you get a lot of knowledge about God's word and about its reliability, that is, we'll learn in a moment, is not a substitute for faith. It still requires faith to trust in God's word. The Apostle Paul points this out in this passage, and this is what he wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 14. But the people's minds were hardened, and to this day, whenever the old covenant is being read, the same veil covers their minds so they cannot understand the truth. And this veil can be removed only, hear me again, and this veil can be removed only by believing in Christ. Do you see what it's saying there? We can have a lot of head knowledge, but until we place faith in Christ, understanding the Word of God and what it actually means is very difficult without faith. Again, in the space on the side of this particular page, reflect on the following questions. Did you notice a change in your ability to understand the Bible when you believed in Jesus and received him as your Savior? It's an important question. Did you notice a change in your ability to understand the Bible when you believed in Jesus and received him as your Savior? If you did, what did this new sense of understanding feel like to you? What did it feel like to you? I know for me personally, it felt like, oh, I understand now. I see why people could be that, grow to be that age in the very early days of Earth's creation. Oh, I understand now why Jesus had to come as a perfect sacrifice for the sins of all mankind. Oh, I understand. I hope and trust that you're having these oh or ah moments yourself as you understand God and His Word. Here's a statement for you, and you can fill in the blank on your sheet in your notes. Relying on the Bible as authoritative and life-changing requires faith. We just spoke about that. Knowledge is no substitute. That's just a very important thing, because sometimes people can become very religious about the knowledge they have about things of God, but it is not a substitute for faith. Faith changes everything. In fact, the Bible says in Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, right in there, that only by faith can someone be saved, and not by works, lest we would boast about it and think that somehow we could save ourselves, when that is completely impossible to do. Only Jesus's death on the cross and His resurrection and our faith in Him being the Son of God can save us. That's all. So knowledge, again, is no substitute for faith. I'd like to give you some tips now, some tips for reading the Bible. Here's the first tip. Get the right mindset. Get your mind in the right mindset. You see, reading the Bible is not like reading a textbook. It is a relational book. God wants to have a relationship with you while you're reading His book. Many times as I've read the scriptures over and over, I will have a moment where I just know that God is speaking directly to me. And that is a wonderful, wonderful thing. I remember not too long ago, I was asking God about a change of ministry that I was being asked to do through the leadership in the church that I serve. And I needed to know from God, are you going to be with me on this? Because if you're not going to be with me, I do not want to do it. And so as I was taking a day of fasting and praying about this and walking around a beautiful place that I love to go to, God gave me this word from Exodus chapter 33 and verse 14, and He basically was saying, I will be with you. I will be with you, and everything is going to be fine for you. I'm paraphrasing. So it was just such a wonderful thing, but I know that as you get in the right mindset, you're going to hear God actually speaking very personal words to you, because it's a living and active word. All right. Think of it this way. Think of it as a letter written to you from God. In this letter, God wants to reveal more and more of Himself to you. So I encourage you, read with faith and with expectation. The second tip for reading the Bible is timing. Timing is important. Find a time during the day when you have the best opportunity to concentrate and allow God's Word to interact with you. You know, if we're just sort of giving God leftovers of our day, you know, and squeezing in a little verse here and a little verse there, or maybe relying on Facebook to give us some kind of encouraging thing from God's Word, we're really going to miss out in a big way. I think it's very important to know, you know, when's your best time of the day? Is it the morning? Some people love the morning, and that's me. I love to get up very early in the morning, and one of the very first things I do is just begin to look at what God's Word wants to say to me. My wife and I will have devotions together. We used to do this with our children in years gone by, and then we would do not only devotions with one another, but then we would personally go to certain places in the house and enjoy allowing God's Word, not only to read God's Word, but actually to allow God's Word to read us. So find a really good time where you can give as much as possible undivided attention to what God is wanting to say to you that day through His Word. Number three tip for reading God's Word, for reading the Bible, set a meeting place. Set a meeting place. Finding a special place where you can meet with God each day can change your life. It's a place where you will not be disturbed and feel at home with God. There's that special place. For me, it's an armchair in our living room. But other times, it's walking in beautiful places, beautiful gardens, and just giving that time to God and just saying, God, this is your time. Feel free to speak to me. Sometimes I found it helpful to say, you know, God, I'm just going to be hiking right now, or I used to like to cross-country ski. And I would say to the Lord, I'm just going to hike, I'm just going to ski, but I'm not going to talk. I'm just going to listen. So setting a meeting place with God is really important, a place where you can go every day that is special to you. It doesn't have to be outside of your home or some hard place to get to. I would actually encourage you just to find that special place right in your own home. For some people, it actually might be a literal closet that you step into and you put little post-it notes on that closet wall with your prayers. Whatever it takes, do it. Spend time with God. The fourth tip for reading God's Word is this. A relationship with God is the key to understanding His Word. Relationship with God is the key to understanding His Word. You know, relationship with God is the key to interacting with His Word. It's an ongoing conversation with the Creator of the earth. I would just encourage you, enjoy this relationship. You see, He is Father. He's many things. He's a Trinity, actually. He's Father, He's Son, and He's Holy Spirit. They're all one. I don't even begin to understand that. I'm sure you probably don't either, but it is simply true. As the Bible describes God, it describes Him as Trinity, three in one, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, God the Son. And this is just incredible. And then there's so many names of God, like Wonderful Counselor, Savior of the World. Oh, the list goes on and on. Now, as you're building relationship with you, He will just continue to reveal Himself in almost like layers of an onion, just sort of peeling back, you know, those layers, revealing more and more. Well, maybe an onion's not a good example because that doesn't taste very good, does it? No, maybe it's just like Alice in Wonderland, who, you know, goes through one door and then over into the next world, or like in C.S. Lewis's books, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, where, you know, they step in through this wardrobe and they step into this whole other reality where they just begin to discover more and more and more. It's just incredible. And this is the kind of relationship that God wants to have with you. You and I discovering more and more and more about Him each day. So relationship with God is the key to understanding His Word. That will help you a lot. Number five, the last of the tips for reading the Bible is this. Apply what you read to your real life. An important question needs to be with you as you read the Bible. The question is, what is something I'm reading today that God wants me to apply to my life? The author of the book of James puts it this way: Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. You know, so many times along the ways, I've been reading God's word, all of a sudden I realize, and this is the conviction of the Holy Spirit, actually, it's one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit to convict people of righteousness, sin and judgment, actually, the scripture says. But you'll be reading along and all of a sudden something will pop up. You know, I remember when I very first became a Christian, I began to read how God's people were to contribute to the church and to contribute to the work of God by giving 10% of their gross income to the church that they belonged to, so that the work of God could continue in that community. And of course, I'm not trying to talk to you about giving right now. I'm just saying this is what happened to me. And when I had that realization and I read that in God's word, and then I began to apply that to my life, I saw something radically change in my heart. It was a new life change that happened to me that represented generosity. And I honestly would not have characterized myself prior to being a Christian as being a generous person. I think I was more of a taker for sure than I was a giver. But that's just one example. And there's other examples too. I remember being convicted about certain things that I would talk to people about. I needed to stop saying anything bad about somebody if they weren't present. And in fact, just stop saying, don't talk poorly about other people. In fact, be an encourager of people, not someone who tears others down, but be a builder. These are just a few of the examples of how God's word has convicted me in the past. So this fifth tip, and a very important one again, is apply what you read to your real life. Don't let your reading of the Bible just be some sort of religious exercise or task. Let it be life-giving that actually requires your application of it to your life. You'll never regret it. You'll think sometimes, oh, I could never do that. That's too much for me. No, you can. You can do it. You know why? Because as you've placed faith in Jesus Christ, it's the reason why, you know, you're taking that next step of water baptism right now. You're staying that you believe in Jesus. And because you believe in him, God's word says in the Gospel of John chapter 15, he lives inside of you now. He abides in you. You abide in him, he abides in you. So because he's there, he gives you the strength to do anything that he's asking you to do. Anything. I remember when he called us to do some teaching in China. Oh my goodness. Did I think I could do that? No, but we went. Same thing with all the other countries that God's privileged us to go to over the years and the ministries that he's given us the opportunity to lead. Yes, you can do it. When God convicts you and you know it's his word speaking to you, my encouragement to you is do it. Don't delay. Do it. All right. I have table discussion questions for you, and of course you weren't able to go to the class, but I still think it's a really good thing for you to take a moment and write some notes down here for yourself. You don't need to turn these in or anything like that, but I think it's good for you to process this a little bit more concerning what you've just been learning. Number one, which of the reasons given concerning why you can trust the Bible stands out to you as most important? And then once you've answered that, why? Why is it important to you? Why does that mean something to you? Number two, what was your number on a scale of 1 to 10 concerning how reliable you believe God's word is at the start of this lesson? Was it like a 4, 5, 6, 7, maybe 10? Maybe you're just doing awesome with God and his word is just jumping off the page at you. I'm just wondering, has your number gone up at all? If it has, why did it go up? Number three, and the last question for you, you can take some notes with. As a result of today's lesson, is there an action step you need to take? If so, what is it? Could it be starting to read the Bible daily? Could it be determining a place in the house where you're going to sit and read God's word at a time that's really a good time where you can give undivided attention to God? What is that action step that you need to take today as a result of hearing this lesson? As you prepare your heart, as you prepare your soul and your spirit for your water baptism. I also added at the end of this lesson this question, want more? And what I mean by that is, you know, is there more information that you'd like to have to strengthen your understanding of God's word and the reliability of God's word? The first one is a simple, wonderful book. It's called Mere Christianity. It was written by C.S. Lewis. This book, written by C.S. Lewis, is a set of radio broadcasts done during World War II, giving strong and compelling arguments for the Christian faith. I think you would find this particular book really, really compelling. Some of his other writings are a little bit difficult to get through, but Mere Christianity I found to be just fantastic. And it is quoted often by other Christian ministers that I've heard many, many times. So the name C.S. Lewis, if you haven't heard it yet, the longer you're around Christianity, you'll hear more of that gentleman's name. Number two, this is an interesting book. I don't particularly love the title, but it is a book that we walked our teenagers through many years ago. And it was just, I thought it was just gave some very good apologetics. Apologetics mean arguments for faith in Jesus Christ, arguments for the authenticity of God's word. Basically, you know, understanding the why behind you believe. So the title of the book is God Doesn't Believe in Atheists by Ray Comfort. Ray Comfort is a modern-day evangelist and apologist. This book is great for teenagers and the young at heart. His apologetics are easily understood and entertaining. You can find things that Ray Comfort's done on YouTube. He's really a very engaging individual, and if you like foreign accents, he has a really wonderful one that I think you'd enjoy. And he's funny as well, which I enjoy too. Number three, in your Want More section, is the YouVersion Bible app. If you have a smartphone, you can download this Bible app for free. It's a Bible app you can download to your phone. It's free, and it's given to the world by Life Church, which is pastored by Craig Groeschel. So, and it is wonderful. It gives multiple translations of the Bible. It gives many study helps and Bible study guides and different things. I've been using the Own It 365, read through the very highlights of the Bible to just see the chronological story of God. It's wonderful. But there's many, many other Bible helps that you'll find in the YouVersion Bible app. Well, that's all I have for you for this first lesson. Thank you for listening. And we are really looking forward to having you in the class next week. And very soon, that fourth time we get together, that is when you're going to go into the waters of baptism. And that is going to be an awesome day. Well, the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you all the days of your life. In Jesus' name, amen.